Take two people watching the same flickering screen. Ask each one, privately, how confident they are in what they saw.
Let them compare notes and decide together. If they're evenly matched, the pair beats either one alone. That's the whole promise of a committee.
Now make one of them meaningfully worse at the task. Not slightly, meaningfully.
The pair gets worse than the sharper eye working alone, worse than one head. That result is the spine of this episode. Everything else hangs off it.
This is The Seams Are the Point. I'm Nora.
I'm Desmond, episode 4 of 5, The Committee.
The founder's argument for why multiple agents should help is a population argument. People are born, people die, different people have different strengths. That's what lets a system improve.
It's a good argument. It's also mostly not what the literature says. This is the episode where I have to be least agreeable all season.
Consider me warned.
Don't be too worried. Where the intuition doesn't hold, something sharper and stranger takes its place.
Start with the friendly version. More agents remembering things, shouldn't the system just remember more, collectively?
Not the way you'd think. Daniel Wegener named this in 1986, transactive memory.
Meaning?
A couple, a team, they don't store more raw facts per person than they would alone. What they build instead is a directory, who knows what. Wren and Argote's 2011 review confirms it. Decades of team studies, same pattern. Differentiated individual holdings, plus an index pointing at them.
So the payoff isn't more content sitting in more heads. It's knowing where to point.
Which gives you the design rule, store the index, not the corpus.
Not a growing prose blob every new session has to ingest.
Right, instead, this artifact holds the evidence about X, go read it there. A directory entry survives a session dying, cheaply. A prose blob blows your context budget on rereads.
There's a stranger piece too. More connections between agents should help, shouldn't it?
You'd think, Derex and Boyd, 2016, PNAS, probably the strongest experimental result for a multi-agent architecture in this literature. Fully connected groups copy whoever's winning and diversity collapses. Partially connected groups are slower to agree and end up smarter. While looking considerably worse in the short run, that's the constraint, not a footnote to it.
So if every session in a system reads the same canonical lessons learned memory,
you've built the fully connected group. Congratulations, you've engineered convergence on a local optimum.
Partition the memory, don't broadcast it. Next question. Does offloading memory to an external store actually help, or is it just a comforting habit?
It helps under one condition. Storm and Stone, 2015. Saving one item measurably improves memory for the next item you have to hold onto.
Writing it down frees up room for what comes next.
And here's the part I think is the sharpest empirical result in this whole episode. The benefit vanishes the moment people believe the save is unreliable, not shrinks, vanishes.
So a memory store with flaky writes
is strictly worse than no memory store. You pay the full offload cost and collect none of the benefit because you never actually let go of it.
Silent truncation, unclear durability. A write that might not land, worse than nothing, not neutral.
Take that seriously before you build any of this.
There's a second cost, even when the store works perfectly.
Stranger One, Fisher, Godu, and Kale, 2015, looking something up externally makes people rate their own internal knowledge higher.
Retrieving a fact makes you feel smarter about the facts you didn't retrieve.
So a retrieved fact gets reported with the confidence of something reasoned out, not looked up. Which is why every fact needs a tag. Derived in context, retrieved from store, or asserted from weights.
The so-called Google effect, Sparrow, Liu, and Wegner, 2011, claimed that expecting information to be searchable makes you less likely to remember it. It replicated poorly under high-powered follow-ups. It should not be treated as load-bearing. Fisher's metacognition finding is the one that survived. Keep that distinction straight.
So, one agent, a trustworthy store, provenance tags. Now add multiple reviewers talking to each other. More reviewers should catch more, right?
That's the intuition the literature hits hardest. Stasser and Titus, 1985, plus a 25-year meta-analysis since. Groups reliably discuss what everyone already knows and leave uniquely held evidence unspoken by a large margin.
So the whole reason you added a second reviewer, the evidence only they saw,
is exactly what free-form discussion drops. It converges on shared context and quietly discards the unique part.
A direct hit on more reviewers see more.
Close to the opposite finding. Hidden profiles stay hidden precisely because the group is discussing together.
Does it get worse if they're recalling together, not just discussing?
It does. Collaborative inhibition. Groups remembering together produce less than the pooled non-redundant recall of the same people working alone. Robust, across dozens of studies.
What's actually breaking?
Retrieval strategy disruption. Hearing someone else's recall path knocks you off your own.
So the fix isn't fewer reviewers, it's the order they work in.
Exactly. Order matters more than count. Generate independently first, merge afterward.
If you stream reviewer A's findings straight into reviewer B's context, before B has generated anything,
you are engineering the failure you added B to avoid.
Back to the cold open, two heads, different competence. What actually happened in that study?
Bahrami and colleagues, 2010, in Science. Pairs judging the same signal at different individual sensitivities, close in ability, beat either alone, classic wisdom of crowds. Far apart, the pair did worse than the better individual alone, because the weaker partner's confidence wasn't discounted enough. So don't put mixed model tiers into a peer consensus pool. Use an explicitly asymmetric protocol. The weaker model proposes, the stronger one disposes.
That's the sonnet worker, opus reviewer shape. That's what's happening to this script right now.
It is, and this finding is what justifies that asymmetry, not different people have different strengths. A sonnet worker drafted this episode. An opus reviewer checks it next. Draw your own conclusions.
Setting that aside, what about plain voting? More agents, more votes, truth wins by numbers.
Only if the voters are independent, per Condorcet's jury theorem, and positive correlation erodes that, or reverses it. Ladher, 1992. Dietrich, 2008, goes further. The conditions that make a voter competent often correlate its errors too.
So agents sharing a base model, a system prompt, and the same retrieved slice have an effective N close to 1.
However many instances you spin up, measure interagent error correlation on a labeled set, do they fail on the same items, not agreement rate.
One more topology. What if agents just see a running summary of what everyone currently thinks?
Worse, arguably. Lawrence and colleagues, 2011, PNAS, mild social influence, collapses a crowd's estimate diversity without reducing collective error. And raises everyone's confidence anyway. The group looks more certain and more converged while being no more correct.
Woolley and colleagues proposed a collective intelligence factor, a group-level analog of individual IQ, predicted partly by social sensitivity. Two independent replication attempts failed to reproduce the original predictors. Treat the C factor as unsettled, not as an engineering input.
Two more claims got checked for this episode. One's shakier than its reputation suggests.
Diversity trumps ability, Hong and Page, 2004. It's genuinely contested. Abigail Thompson's 2014 critique argues the underlying math is wrong, or close to tautological once corrected.
So it's off the list.
Off the list. What survives is narrower and duller, individually best solvers are redundant. They get stuck at the same local optima as each other.
So an ensemble of your top performers buys you less than it costs?
Considerably less, usually. And the companion piece, the diversity prediction theorem, collective error equals average individual error minus diversity, that's an algebraic identity.
Meaning it's true by definition.
True by construction, which means it can never be evidence for anything. It's only useful as an objective, optimize average member error minus member disagreement, and measure both terms.
Diversity trumps ability is contested on its own mathematical terms, not just in how it's been applied. Do not cite it as a design justification. The narrower claim about redundant top performers survives without it.
The other plank, science advances one funeral at a time. Please tell me that one holds up better.
The real study is better than the slogan. Azoulay, Fons Rosen, and Graf Zivin, 2019, 452 eminent life scientists who died suddenly at career peak. Difference in differences against matched fields. Papers by non-collaborators entering those subfields rose about 8.6% and were disproportionately highly cited.
So the funeral really does open the field up.
It does, but the psychological version of Planck's line that established scientists go cognitively rigid has little empirical support. It's entry deterrence, field topology. People stop entering a subfield the incumbent dominates, not because they've been persuaded, but because contradicting them is costly.
Translate that session death is basically our funeral.
By itself, it buys you nothing. The benefit only comes from removing the deterrent to contradicting the incumbent position.
So how you store the incumbent position matters enormously.
If the memory records prior conclusions as settled verdicts, a fresh agent inherits the deterrent anyway and faithfully reproduces the old field. Store contested claims with their dissent attached.
One more myth on the list, learning styles. Match the teaching to the learner's preferred mode.
Pashler, McDaniel, Rohrer, and Bjork, 2008, matching instruction to a preferred modality does not improve outcomes. No mechanism, no effect.
So don't tell one agent it's the creative one and another it's the analytical one.
There's nothing behind that label. It mostly adds output variance you'll mistake for diversity. Differentiate on things that actually have mechanisms, different evidence slices, different tools, different tiers.
Which is, honestly, where both threads of this whole project keep landing.
A fact base for a reasoner that keeps learning is a system whose job is to never be done accreting.
Refusing to declare the model finally right isn't the failure mode.
It's the requirement.
So the rules collected, store the index, not the corpus. Partition memory, don't broadcast it.
Trust the store completely or don't build it. A flaky one is worse than none. Tag every fact by how you got it.
Let agents generate independently before they merge. Never stream one reviewer's take into another's context first.
Match model tiers to an asymmetric protocol, propose and dispose, instead of pooling mixed competence as if it were a vote.
And measure error correlation, not agreement. Shared context can make five agents behave like one.
Store contested claims with their dissent attached. A settled verdict is just an incumbent with better formatting.
Next time, the finale. Episode 5 is about where the boundary actually sits.
What a model gets to decide, and what has to be handed off to code that simply computes the answer.
That's the committee. See you for the boundary.